This is Victrios.
Let's open our Bibles this morning and start the journey from Psalms 141. Psalms 141. Also, I need to add to the marriage announcement thing. One of the things we have noticed about many people is that they invest in every other thing, but they don't invest in their relationships. And anything you don't grow may soon start to die. There's no vacuum in nature. You either be growing or dying. If you are not investing in the marriage is already dying. And some people, when they find themselves in divorce court, they were divorced 10 years before that time because that marriage had already died. But in Jesus' name, in this house, marriages will survive. They will also thrive in the name of Jesus. The Bible says here, this is the psalmist speaking here. It says, may my prayer be before you like the incense. May the lifting up of my hands be like the evening sacrifice. You need to understand what the psalmist was saying here by looking a little bit to the Old Testament. The priest or the high priest in the Old Testament will have to minister with incense. And that incense is like they put some metals and some incense. I don't know how to describe it now. They put it in a censer and it shakes it and it releases aroma, and that aroma was supposed to attract something. And God, the psalmist in this scripture is saying, may my prayer be like that. Let it be like the incense. And can I tell you, our prayer is like that. Look at the scripture. Revelations chapter 8. I think I have two revelations here. Revelations chapter 5, first of all. Revelations chapter 5, verse 8. And Revelations chapter 8, verse 3. Revelations chapter 5, verse 8. The Bible says, and when he had taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell before the Lamb. Each one had a harp. And they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of God's people. Ladies and gentlemen, when we generate some things here on earth, the Bible said these things have a replica. There is something happening to them in the heavenlies. And the Bible said there are beings standing before God and they are carrying them as bowls. The Bible now says the bowls are full of incense, and this incense is the prayer of men. That's why the psalmist was prophetically saying, no, the psalmist never knew about revelations. The psalmist had died several years before they started writing revelations. But the psalmist prophetically was saying, I want my prayer to be like incense. He did not know that in the New Testament, if you give your life to Christ, your prayer is not like incense. It's an incense before God. The Bible said there are living creatures, 24 elders. They are carrying these bowls. And they are the prayers of God's people. It's like incense. God likes the smell. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's go to Revelations chapter 8 and 3. Revelations 8 and 3. The Bible says another angel who had a golden censer. So it seems there were many creatures in heaven, or there are many creatures in heaven that God has assigned to take sounds from the earth and to hold it up as so that God can smell it. It feels like God is like a father or a mother that keeps the phone, that keeps the picture of their children in their pocket. I know many mothers, if I do the math with fathers now, I'll get into trouble. But mothers, if you tell them to open their wallet or purse, you are going to find a picture of their children there. Yes, but men, I won't talk to you. I will just say that mothers, I'll stay at mothers. So God is like that mother who is keeping the picture of his child in his pocket. So he's keeping the prayers of his people before him because they are sounds that he likes. The Bible says another angel who had a golden censer came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense to offer with the prayers of all God's people. When you read scriptures like this, you should not stop praying, because your prayers are standing before God. I remember in Acts chapter 10, the Bible talks about Cornelius. He said, the angel came and said, your arms and your prayers have come as a memorial. The first time I heard that scripture, to me, I didn't even know what memorial means in terms of memorial can just be something like a memory. I thought it was a monument. I used to think memorial are statues. But I kind of believe it raised something that was significant. The Bible said somebody was praying and doing things on earth here, and in heaven he stood at a memorial. You could say, this is Cornelius' prayer. What? And Cornelius didn't even know Jesus. Cornelius was just probably praying based on Judaism. That's why they had to send an angel to him and say, go and send for Peter so that he can tell you how you can be saved. So imagine the prayers of Cornelius standing as a memorial. How much the prayers of Sister T or Brother P who has given their life to Christ. It is memorial to the power of 10. Amen to Jesus. So God loves our prayer. God is like incense to him. Our prayer is the sound that we make. We've been talking about different sounds in this series that we have been going on with. And we have been telling ourselves and encouraging ourselves to make some sounds, because heaven is waiting for sound on earth. Let me say this to you. God owns the heavens of heavens. Heavens of heavens means the third heaven where God stays, because there's not just one heaven. Because sometimes when people talk about heaven, they are talking about the atmospheric heaven where you can see. That's not where God stays. There is a third heaven, because Paul was telling us, he said, I had a vision and I saw the third heaven. You know, so there is a third heaven, and which supposes that there's probably second and first. And I think the second heaven is where the principalities and powers are. Because sometimes when people are looking, they think the devil is here. The devil is not really down in that sense. The devil is in the atmospheric air. You know, the Bible calls him the prince of the power of the air. It's not the air where God lives. It's another one. But that's not what we're talking about this morning. So when on earth here, God has made it that there are things that if earth does not do, heaven won't respond. If earth does not do it, as good as God is, if earth decides not to do something, heaven is not permitted to let it happen. By the way God created the heavens and the earth, what God did was that God relinquished the earth per se to man. At some point, man lost that earth and Jesus came to buy it back. But you see, with that kind of relinquishing, what God did was that God does not just step here arbitrarily. We have to release something to heaven for heaven to work with. We have to make something available for God to use. That is why sometimes it looks as if God knows my trouble and it's as if nothing is happening. Many, many times God is expecting somebody to say something. In Acts chapter 12, the Bible talked about Peter. The Bible first started that scripture, if you start reading from verse 1, he said that they had killed James. And they thought this was a good idea. And they took another person, they took Peter. The Bible now said, prayer was made continually to God on behalf of Peter. So that means that it was possible that they thought, well, James is the servant of Christ. God will deliver him. They left him. Qui sera, sera. But the Bible said that prayer was made for Peter. And because prayer was made for Peter, the outcome of Peter was different from the outcome of James. And these two people were serving God. Believe me, you can serve God. You can be doing everything, so to say, right. If you don't raise some appropriate sounds, if you are not making some appropriate sounds to heaven, you can continue where you are. And that's why we're challenging ourselves all throughout this month, that we need to make sounds of heaven. We need to not make the sounds that are not sounds of the heaven where God lives, because there are also sounds that you can make that go into another heaven, especially things like complaining. That's not the sound that the heavens of where God lives can take. Because we read from that scripture that the angels are carrying something. They are not carrying the complaints of people. It's also a sound. People are making complaints. People are going and saying, God, this is September 2019. You have not shown up. You have not done what you need to do. It looks like you have failed. In fact, some people will come to church sometimes. God, if you don't answer me today, I won't come again. It's a sound. But it's not the sound that the angels are keeping. That one, the angels are not keeping it there. That one is not incense. I wanted to say another sense, but let's leave it there. But that one is not incense. That one is not incense. So we need to make the sounds that are commensurate. That is a sound that will sound in heaven. A sound that heaven will reckon with. And murmuring is not one of them. I have also said here too that slandering is not one of them. Slander means you are making a sound on behalf of another person when that person is not there. Cutting another person. In fact, slander looks like you slash the person. And sometimes some people think it's just gist, you know. I have a gist for you, and the gist is another person. And the gist is that, oh, sister A and B and da, 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 da. And you ask yourself, how does that help my life? How does that help us to move forward now? How does that help the thing that God is about to do now? How does that help? The Bible said this. Let me read this scripture about slander. Psalm 101 and verse 5. The Bible says, whoever slanders his neighbor in secret, I will put to silence. I mean, God is saying, look, I am listening. I am concerned about all kinds of sound. But there are some sounds that annoy me. I don't like it. Because some of these sounds, you are using it to hurt another person. Some of these sounds, you are using it against another person that I died for. He said, I will mute you. He said, I will mute you. That means that there are times in people's life, the muting they are enjoying is God. Because they've released negative sounds that are in the realm that is in another heaven, but God still hears everything anyways. So he said, I will put to silence, I will mute you. I will mute you. So if I were you, just like I do to myself, excuse yourself from conversations. Excuse yourself from stories. Excuse yourself from Jesus. That is about people. Let's talk about things. Let's talk about what God is about to do. Let's talk about the word of God. Let's stay in the word of God. That's a good sound to make. So we have said in this, our talking, and then I think my wife also said some things last week. Amen to Jesus. And we've said sounds of praise is very important. Sounds of praise. When we make sounds of praise, it's a profitable sound. The Bible says in Psalm 22 verse 3, it says, God lives in praise. If you read Revelations, the kind of all kinds of categories of praise that happen in heaven, you will know that the realm of God is the realm of praise. That explains why we sing. It's like a tuning. It's like we are tuning to a frequency because God permanently lives in the realms of praise. The Bible says in Acts chapter 16 from verse 25, it says, Paul and Silas, they prayed and they praised God. And the Bible said there was an earthquake. Why was there an earthquake? God lives in praise. And when God shows up, even mountains will begin to skip like ram. So the showing up of God can cause any earthquake. Because they went to the address of God, which is praise. So sounds that are profitable include praise. We also said here that sounds that are profitable include sound of his word. Sound of his word. When you say the word of God back to God, you put the word of God in your mouth and say to God, that's a profitable sound. And today, I want to talk about sounds of prayer. Sounds of prayer. What is prayer? Prayer is a communication with God on God's term. Prayer is not just communication with God. Prayer is communication with God on God's term. So it's like I'm talking to God, but I'm talking to him on his own term, not on my own terms. So when you talk to God and you talk on any other terms except the term of God, you are not praying. So making sounds of prayer, you need to understand that the sound of prayer is very, very on the terms of God. It is based on the terms of God. So that's why when the disciples asked Jesus to tell them about prayer, he started like this. Matthew chapter 6 from verse 9. Matthew chapter 6 from verse 9. It was the time they came to meet Jesus. They had seen Jesus. They saw that he always made sounds. And especially, he will go a long time before daytime and he will go and pray. And I guess they used to worry that, why was he making a lot of sounds, sounds of prayer? Why was he releasing prayer into the atmosphere? And they noticed that every time he now had to deal with people, he would just say something small and it will happen. Then they asked him, they said, you need to teach us how to pray. And Jesus did not tell them that you learn prayer by praying. You know, I've heard that. I still heard it recently. Somebody said, you learn prayer by praying. It's not quite true. You learn prayer by learning it. You can be taught. Because they came to meet Jesus, teach us to pray. And Jesus did not tell them, that is, get thee behind me, Satan. How can you say, teach us to pray? Just watch me as I pray. No. The Bible said, Jesus took them on and said, sure, I will teach you how to pray. Let's read it. It says, this then is how you should pray. And then the Bible says, he said, our Father who is in heaven, or our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Then some translation, they omit that part, but this, for thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. So if you see this model of prayer that Jesus gave to us, you can understand how you can strategically make sounds of prayer to heaven. The first thing we see here, and which is the major concept of sounds of prayer, is that the persons in prayer are very, very important. If you don't understand the personalities in prayer, you will make no progress in prayer. The personalities, because the way Jesus gave us the prayer, he gave us that there are two sides to prayer. There are two personalities in prayer. And if you want to enjoy prayer, if you want prayer to be a sound that will be like the incense that these heavenly beings are carrying before God, you need to understand the personalities in prayer. And God, in this scripture, the Bible makes us to understand that God is the first personality of prayer. So when I go to prayer, the attention is not on the activity of prayer, but on the person, the personality of God. That must be my first focus. If my focus is not on the person of God in the place of prayer, my prayer is useless. The person of God is the major personality that you have to focus on. If I can get two guys, let me show you something. How prayer works. If I can get two people that volunteer. Two people. It's okay. Just come. You'll be fine. Two people. Can you see me? Yeah, you can stand here, sir. You can stand here. You just stand and face yourselves. Okay. Stand up. So let's look at it. Let's say that this is prayer. This iPad is prayer. And let's say that you will represent God. Let's say that you will represent us. Because in that model prayer, he said, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. And then later he went on to give us. So you are us. You know, I don't want to give you any name, but the individual us. And then you are the individual God. And this is the concept. This is the activity of prayer. Now, do you know that if, please take this, sir. Just hold this, sir. If you hold this iPad and you are supposed to communicate with this individual, the personality of God, and you don't open it, but back him, just back him now. And then just be shaking your head, but don't open the, just be shaking your head. Just be shaking your head. Do you think that there will be communication happening between these two people? The fact that he's holding the iPad, does it matter? The fact that he's shaking his head, does it matter? Even if he's sweating, does it matter? If he starts to cry, what about that? Because that's how many people do in the place of prayer. They will come to place of prayer. They can be crying. They can be doing everything. But the way God wants them to communicate and the person of God, they have backed God. They have been like this. Because there are so many things that can make you back God. I'll talk about them later on. But just imagine that he is talking to God. He has backed God. The instrument that he's supposed to use to talk to God, he's not really using it. He's using every other instrument. Is he able to have any meaningful thing from this personality? And that's what's happening to many people. So when you come into the place of prayer, if this is prayer, if this is God and the one you are supposed to communicate with, you are supposed to open this tool that you are supposed to use to communicate with him, and then you are supposed to now make your focus to be on who? On him. The focus can't even be on you. You are going to use this tool so that the focus has to be on God. Can somebody say amen to that? So in the place of prayer, the personality of God, you cannot ignore him and then get your prayers answered. You cannot ignore him by what you have done or what you have not done and get your prayers answered. That is the major, major stumbling block for many people. They have backed God and they left God here. And God that will answer the prayer is just wondering, what is he saying? He's not communicating. What kind of sound is he making? This is not the right sound he's supposed to be making. So when Jesus was teaching them how to pray, the Bible said Jesus told them that you will say, Our Father. So if God is your God in the place of prayer, it may not be so powerful for you. It must be your Father. Many people pray to God. They don't pray to their Father. The power of prayer is in the relationship, not the activity. Two people can say the same thing and they will get different results. There are two kids that can stand here and ask me for money. If one of them has the last name Adewale, the response will be different, sir. It may be like my last card. The response, if somebody comes here and says, our pastor, and another person even says, use the word our pastor, and his last name is Adewale, I will know that I am pastor of two of them, but I will know that I'm father of one of them. Many people, when it comes to prayer, they are talking to our God, not our Father. And Jesus said this, when it comes to sounds of prayer, for it to be effective, it must be addressed to your Father. Relationship is key. Relationship is major. The more there is relationship, the better prayer becomes. Without relationship, prayer is useless. Some people use prayer like medicine, like charm, like concussion, incantation. If it is magic, maybe it will work. But if it is prayer to God of Israel, it won't work like that. He said it here. He said, Our Father, who is in heaven. So the more I know this Father, the better I will get results. That's why Daniel said in Daniel chapter 11, verse 32, Daniel 11, 32, he says, they that know their God, they will be strong. That means it is possible for some people to have a God and they are not strong because of lack of knowledge. That's why Jesus said, Our Father. And that was a revolutionary concept. Before Jesus came to introduce Our Father, they were praying to our God. They were praying to the God of Israel. But Jesus never was praying to God per se. He was praying to our Father. That's why whenever he gets to any place, he will even say things like this. Lord, I know that you are always hearing me. My Father, I know that you always hear me. Because we have a relationship. I don't need to explain the whole world to my Father that he should help me. No. My son still came to the office downstairs today. He didn't have to say much. He just, once I saw him, I said, you need money for offering. I was already reaching for my wallet. I said, take, give your brother. He said, my brother already here. So, his brother didn't even need to come. Because of relationship, his brother could get what he didn't even ask for. Let me tell you this. Your prayer will have result if your relationship is secured. There are many prayers that we are even praying that we may not pray if we work on our relationship. The more you know God, that's why you don't play church. You don't just come to church as a religion. As if I don't come, I'll feel guilty. Don't do that. Come so that you will know Him. Come so that when you hear something, you will know Him. And you see, knowing Him cannot be corporate. It has to be secret. In fact, when Jesus was going to start that whole discussion on prayer, He said to them, and if you were hearing Him, you would have thought Jesus was saying what He was not saying. Jesus told them, He said, some people, when they want to pray, they will go into public place and they will be shouting and they will be making people hear them. He said, but you, when you want to pray, go into your closet. Your Father who sees in secret will rejoice you in the closet, in the open. You would have thought Jesus said, let there be no public prayer. And when there is public prayer, pray under your breath. Pray in your mind. No, that's not what Jesus was saying. Jesus was just saying that the power of prayer is not in the open, it's in the secret. Jesus was saying that if you have a secret relationship, if you have an altar outside of the church altar or outside of church, if you are praying before here, if you have a relationship, when you come openly, even if you shout, even if other people are shouting louder than you, I can hear your own voice. Because no matter how all of you shout here, if my son or my daughter shout, I will hear. It's a grace. Amen to Jesus. Fathers, mothers, they will hear their own child. In the midst of many people. Even some, especially mothers, fathers, God is still helping them. When they are sleeping, mothers will wake up. But fathers, God is helping them. God is helping them to wake up. So the better we know God, ladies and gentlemen, the better our prayer will be. So if I were you, one of my desire would be to know Him more. I want to know you more. Because knowledge, the more of God you know, the more of God you will come answer. Every time you are seeing challenge, especially when it's overly too repetitive and too long, it may be a knowledge issue. It may be what you need to know. You know, Job was saying, knowledge and understanding shall be the stability of your time. There is something that knowledge does. It stables you. It stabilizes you. So the more I know God, the better my prayer life will be. And the major currency of knowing God is time. It's time. It's just like anybody. We know people when we spend time with them. When Jesus chose the disciples, Jesus really didn't intend to even tell them anything. If you read through the gospel, there were very few times, few or almost no time, where Jesus set out to tell them something. They usually will ask Him questions, something will happen, and then He will explain it to them. But the Bible said He chose them so that they might be with Him. He understood that when they spend time with Him, something will rub off on them. When you look at Him, you will look like Him. When Moses was on the mountain, the Bible said when Moses came down, they could not look at his face. Why? He was spending time with light. So if you want results in the place of prayer, ladies and gentlemen, you need to know God. And to know God, it will take your time. We can't continue giving God the kind of time we are giving Him. That's why by God's grace, we have been doing this prayer altar just to jolt us. And if you have joined since we have been doing, they said habits are formed in 21 days. So you have formed a new habit if you have joined since. I hope so. Amen to Jesus. It will take time. You cannot develop and know anybody like microwave. No. It's like you have to cook it, oven cook or fire cook. Or even that one is even fast. You cook, you know, there's some olden African cooking that you cook with firewood. That it will take a while before. That is how some of these things have to be done. You have to spend time with God. Spend time with God when you are reading His word. Spend time with God when you are praying. When you come to church like this, it's time spent with God. Some people say, well, I have this, I have that. That's why your prayer is not effective. That's why your prayer is not effective. The relationship is not solid. The relationship is not strong. The relationship is not there. And so when you are praying, it's as if you are praying and hitting the sky. So the purchase, the currency of purchase is time, fellowship. You know, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and 14, it says the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the partnership or communion or fellowship. You see that word there, you can't achieve it in a jiffy. You achieve that communion with time. You spend time. You allow time. You play music. Sometimes, do you know, let me tell you this. If you tell yourself, I will go off Facebook this week as fast, you'll be surprised how much time you'll get. They blocked my Instagram account on, was it Friday or something like that? Oh, I can't, I just can't click on it. And I discovered that there were newer times. There were newer times that I had. I'm like, what? Just Instagram that I don't even the post that many people see that is there. It's not me that post it. It's our guys that post it for me. So I hardly post any. It's just look, oh, this person's picture, tap. Just all that tap is a lot of time. So if you can just take away a few things and say, I want to give this time to God. I just want to give it to God. You know what it will start doing for you? It will deepen your relationship. It will deepen your relationship. And the better the relationship, the better the answer. So you will not know God if you don't spend time with him. Time in prayer, time in the word, and importantly, time meditating. That's a very important part too. Meditation is you take the word of God that you have heard and you think about it. Sometimes you think about it saying it out loud. You just put your phone down and just think about the word of God. Just thinking about it. And not sometimes, not necessarily because you need something from God. We should stop doing this relationship with God as if it's transaction. Oh, give me this, give me. No. That's not how relationships work. Every relationship that is solid, people will just share time together without any obligations. Am I right? I hope that's what happens in relationship. You just share time together. There's nothing that is going to happen. You're hanging out together. I know sometimes the way our world has become, even children sometimes, when you're hanging out with them, they're like thinking that, okay, this is our hangout. Are we going to get points? And are we going to be able to use the point to buy something? You know, but you know, in relationship, we spend time together just for spending time. So time in prayer, time in the word, time in meditation, it helps us to foster our relationship better with him. So just like you saw that image, we had the personality of God and we had us. So in the school of prayer, God's part has to be taken care of. That relationship has to be strong. But even that man too, that us, he has to also be, something has to happen to him. Because the Bible also talks about that all. You know, because if you don't focus on yourself too, in a small sense, your prayer will not be effective. So the person who you are in prayer, it matters a lot. So if you don't know who you are in God, your prayer also will be a waste. You have to know who God is. You also have to know who you are, who he has made you. You have to know who he has made you. In Galatians chapter 3 and verse 1. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 1. Paul was telling the Galatians. He says, "O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you?" Before your very eyes, Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. "Who has lied to you that you have forgotten who you are in Christ?" Who has lied to you? The Bible calls the devil the accuser of the brethren. Do you know why? One of the greatest weapons the devil has is to accuse people. Accuse people before them and before God. And so he makes you forget or underestimate who you are. In Luke chapter 15, we read of the story of the prodigal son. Luke 15 from 11 to 31. Luke chapter 15, 11 to 31. The Bible said this boy had wasted all the things that the father gave him. But did you know that even with all the waste, even with all the destruction and wanton riotous living, the father was waiting for him. But thanks be to God that along the line, the Bible said he came to himself. He actually came off the bewitchment that came on him and said, "Wait a minute. I can go back to my father. worst case, he would downgrade our relationship. But I know my father, I can go back to him. The going back to my father is a possibility. He removed the bewitching. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to me clearly. Everything the devil is telling you, the lies, oh, you are not this, you have done that, you have made this mistake. I have come to tell you that there's no mistake that can stop what God wants to do. Can you say amen to that? Because sometimes the devil comes to some of us and he so lies to us and makes us to believe that things are past redemption. The question I ask myself is this. Did God not figure out the mistake as part of the plan? In the fall of man, the Bible said Jesus had been slain before the foundations of the world. So when Adam fell, it was not then that God started saying, let us redeem man. God has said, let us redeem man before he even created man that we sin. So mistake, God has factored it in. Don't let the devil accuse you of anything. Don't let the devil be an accuser of bread. You need to know who you are in Christ. I like when Peter showed up in front of that man at the gate called Beautiful in Acts chapter 3 and verse 6. Acts chapter 3 and verse 6. Peter said, look, we don't have silver and gold with us right now, but I have something. Blessed be God for people that know that they have something. Blessed be God for people that they know that they are not ordinary. Blessed be God for people that they know that they carry God. Blessed be God for people that they know that there's something on the inside of them that can bless the world. They may be in Potiphar's house today. They may be in the pit tomorrow. They may be in the prison later tomorrow. But they know that there is a palace thing inside of them. And where they find themselves now, irrespective, does not define where God wants to take them. Can I get an hallelujah to that? Oh my God. Blessed be God for that person who knows who he is. Because if you don't know who you are, you'll be that man using the things of prayer, but you're backing God. You are not looking at God because you don't know who you are. You are forgotten who you are. And that's why we come to church. That's why we read the word of God. Because the word of God is a mirror. When you read the word of God, it tells you about God. And then it shows you to yourself. When you look at the mirror, you look at the mirror says you are not dressing well, you dress yourself well. You change yourself, you check yourself out, and you address yourself in a way that will be consistent with the way you want to be seen based on what you have seen from the mirror. Blessed be the people that know who they are. It's not only good to know who God is. In that school of prayer, you also know who you need to, you know who you are. I like that song by Sinatra. I'm walking in power. I'm walking in miracles. Why? Because I know who I am. You can't walk in power. You can't walk in miracle if you don't know who you are. You need to know who you are. In fact, if you want to do an assignment for yourself this week, pull out your Bible. If you have an electronic Bible, I believe many people do, and search I am, and let it be where the Bible is talking about. I am referring to human being, not God. And say it out loud. I am the head. I'm not the tail. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. The life that I now live, I live by the faith in the Son of God. Look for scriptures that says who you are in God and say it. The more you say it, the more you will believe it. Remember what they told us last week? You say it, and then you believe it in your heart, and you believe it in your hands, and you say it with your mouth. You can't keep saying it. You keep saying it, and then you keep believing it. So you need to know who you are. Now, if you know who you are, if you know who God has made you, there are two things which look similar that can disturb you. Two things will look similar that can disturb you. Let me talk about them, and then we'll pray. Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. Romans chapter 8. And verse 1. The Bible says, there is therefore now. Let everybody say, now. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Verse 2. Keep moving. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit. Give me King Jesus. For the law of the Spirit has made me free from the law of the sin and death. Okay, yes, I like this. At least for this scripture. It says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. There are two things that can hurt you when it comes to this, your identity in Christ. One is sin. Sin that you actually did. It can affect relationship. You remember the prodigal son? The story of the prodigal son was not that the father stopped being the father. It was because he ran away. And because of his activity, he was suffering. Not because God wanted him to suffer, but that sin broke the fellowship. He broke the fellowship. He did not remove the privilege. God still, the father still had the privilege there for him. But he broke the fellowship. So that's what sin does to you. When you do sin, when you turn sin to normal, there are people, church people, they've been able to explain sin away in all kinds of names. Sin will affect your confidence before God. You will be backing him. Those are the things that make you back God. Because when you remember when Adam and Eve sinned, the Bible said they clothed themselves in fig clothes because they said, "We heard your voice and went to do what? Hide ourselves." Does it not look like the man that is backing God? That's what sin does to you. Sin makes you to back God. It doesn't make you to look at God, who you should be looking at, who is a focus in this issue of prayer. So you are not looking at God, you are running away. And that's why you need to receive grace to be delivered from any form of sin. But there is another thing that also hurts people. Because the scripture says, law of sin and death. That thing is guilt. Sin is powerful. Guilt may even be more powerful. Guilt is not necessarily sin. Guilt is the effect of sin. And the devil, many times when people have repented of sin, he still wants to let them have the guilt of the sin that they have committed. And so that guilt keeps them in bondage. That guilt keeps them in under tension. The devil, who is the accuser of brethren, he will come to them. You say you. They say lift up holy hands and you are lifting up holy hands. How can your hands be holy? You that did this and did that. That's why you need to know who you are in Christ. That's why you need to know who you are in Christ. Because in that kind of instance, you now tell him. You now tell him that for my whole life is gone. I am a new creature in Christ. He says, all things have passed away. Behold, the new has come. And when you read that scripture, it is always true every time. All things passed away yesterday and is still passing away today. I am a new man in Christ. I'm a new man. God has made me new. I am not under that sin. That's not me. The me that you know, that me that used to tell lies, that me that used to do that, that means that did that, that means that whatever thing I did in my past, I am not that. If there is anything that the devil uses on people, it's guilt. It's guilt. He uses that guilt to turn our back. And so when we come to prayer, we are not looking at God. We are focusing on the guilt. Sometimes while you are praying, you are even passing your prayer through the filter of that guilt. And sometimes some people reduce the prayer. Some people don't come boldly. In prayer, one of the things that will help you is confidence. God wants you to come boldly like I cannot be denied. That's why he said, address me as father. Because fathers normally will not deny children what they are supposed to give them. They look at it as my responsibility. So God wants you to come before him with confidence. That's why you have to get rid of sin. That's why you have to get rid of guilt. Because the presence in prayer will make the sound of prayer effective or ineffective. You focus on God and you remember who you are in Christ. Don't let sin stop you. Don't let guilt hold you. Will you bow down your heads this morning and talk to God? Tell God this morning, especially there's somebody here this morning, you need to receive freedom from guilt. There is this guilt trip that, you know, the devil just throws at you many, many times. Receive freedom right now. I receive freedom from every form of guilt in the name of Jesus. Is there any sin you need to confess? There's this that opportunity in Christ still. Yes, tell him, I don't want to deal with this back and forth with this matter again. I confess it today and I receive help to do and not to do this again in the name of Jesus. And in the name of Jesus, the guilt is dealt with. Yes, the guilt this morning, the lapadusha. Lord, I pray for that lady. The guilt this morning is erased. Let it be, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we are praying. I want everybody to put their hands on their chest. And I want you to say this with me. Say in the name of Jesus, from today, I approach the throne of God with confidence because my relationship with God is getting better. And I know because he's my father, I cannot be denied. I declare from today, I know who I am in Christ. And I emphasize who I am in the name of Jesus. Sin will not hold me down. Guilt will not hold me down. It shall be so in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we are prayed.